You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Chris Pimlott in the studio. An afternoon of jumping to look forward to with national hunt meetings at Market Raisin, Musselburgh and Toaster, and all other action in the evening from Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Sam Turner. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Good jumping's all the way back now, isn't it? We've got some real nice horses back out, and we're going to look ahead to some of the anti-post markets for the jumping. But you enjoying it so far?
Very much so, yeah. Saw Doncaster over the weekend. Obviously, Q Card's performance at Weatherby was terrific. Many clouds, all right, he didn't run very well, but good to see him out. And every day, really, there's some really nice novices coming out, both over hurdles and fences. We've seen some quality animals progressing and getting their seasons underway, which is great to see. And bit of soft ground as well as helping the trainers, they can get on with the schooling, and we can see some quality again this weekend and every weekend from here on in, all the way up to Christmas almost, whether it be the Paddy Power meeting, whether it be the Hennessy. We've got some fantastic stuff to look forward to. The Betfair Chase, it's absolutely week after week after week, it's tremendous.
The decks are out for the Betfair Chase as well today. Well, the first set of decks anyway, so we'll have a mention of that in a moment. But while you've mentioned the weekend on a number of occasions there, this weekend, Sam, You were on the morning line again.
Yes, I did a little bit of TV. Got a few words in here and there with Fitzy. Enjoyable. There were six of us, I think, on the sofa, so there wasn't a lot of time for talking, which I did think was the main reason for the whole show, but there you go. But there was infinitely better brains on there than me. Dan Skelton, Tom Scudamore as well. So, yeah, it was good to have them on, and they talk a huge amount of sense, whereas I don't. So, it's that's obviously keen for the producers and the viewers alike to see some quality input from guys like that, give up their time on a Saturday morning to go and do that.
William Hill's AP McCoy is going to be on there as well soon, isn't he? He's joining the team.
Yeah.
So that's nice. And
I'm hoping he doesn't shout at me if I ever get to work with him.
Why would he shout at you?
Oh, he shouts at everyone, doesn't he, AP? He shouts at you, doesn't he? You should hear what he calls you behind your back.
Ah, well, I'm glad it's behind my back.
He's a big fan of you and Alex, which is good to hear. And it's a fantastic acquisition for Channel 4, really, to have Frankie Dettori for the flat and AP for the jumps. And, of course, him and Mick go back years, big golfing partners and big pals. So, providing it doesn't get too chummy-chummy, and I don't think it will, I don't think AP would allow that to happen, really. I don't think he's one of those that would just slap his fellow jocks on the back, etc., etc. I think he'll give a little bit of criticism where he thinks it's deserved, and he'll back the lads when he feels that that's deserved as well. But him and Fitzy, they'll bounce off each other well, I think.
Let's get stuck into the Betfair Chase then, as it stands. So Vinayako Conti at the top of the market with us at the time of recording this, 7-4, 11-4 for Don Cossack. Kony Gree is 5-1, as is Q Card. Safir de Roer also 5-10s for Ballinagore and Holywell. 10-1 as well for Road to Riches, and 14s or bigger for the others. If all of those turn up, that will be a cracking renewal of the Betfair Chase.
It will be absolutely awesome. I'm not sure about Kony Gree. They're talking about the Hennessy for him, aren't they? So I'm not sure whether he'll make the field. The standout really at those prices, probably each way, if you think the race is going to cut up a little bit, because one or two of the big price horses will probably work their way into handicaps, the like of Irish Cavalier, etc. King's Palace would be Paddy Power bound, I would think. The one that stands out really each way is Q Card, who looked a revitalised performer in winning at Weatherby last time. He's a 5-1 chance. He's already won that race before. It was the last race he'd won prior to winning the Charlie Hall, was winning the Betfair Chase. He looks a much happier horse. They've done his wind. He was jumped better. Whether it's the association with Paddy Brennan or not, I don't know. But he just looked a more tractable conveyance on Saturday. And at 5-1 in an anti-post race, you want to be back in something that you know, is probably going to be a horse that's going to line up. There is the little doubt that he might go Hennessy as well. Colin Tizard was on about that. If the handicapper left him on a rating of 160, they might go to Newbury, but I can't see that happening for a minute. I think he'll be back up into the late 160s, and that might rule out a little tilt at the handicap at Newbury, and he might have to go Betfair Chase.
Do you think with the Triple Crown in the season this year as well, that you might see more of these turn up? Maybe one or two of them would go Hennessy route or other directions, whereas you've got Coney Gree, who's definitely going to be aimed at the Gold Cup, and Don Cossack and so on and so forth. Yeah. Chance to win £1 million, it's worth taking, isn't it?
I suppose it is. I think the three races stand up in their own right, though. There's good prize money already for the three races. I know the £1 million sounds like a glittering prize at the end of the season, but you know, you've got to have a pretty special horse to do it. Corto Star is the only one that's done it so far, and you know, he was just an incredible racehorse. So these are all very good. Whether they're quite at that level or not is open to question. And you need horses that are going to be so different, you know, and so versatile in so many ways as well. You know, you've got a tight track at Haydock, galloping track, right-handed Kempton, different tests that presents, and then obviously Cheltenham as well, you know, further down the line. The cynic in me thinks that it's a little bit of a cheap PR stunt. You know, it wasn't sort of released this news till early October, where a lot of trainers and connections had already got their plans and targets lined up. I thought Don Cossack would be absolute stonewaller to try and go for all three, but I don't think that, just reading Gordon Elliott and listening to him, I don't think it's top of his list. Which is a little bit of a surprise, because obviously Jigginstown and Gordon Elliott are quite strongly represented through this sphere, the staying chase sphere. Certainly Jigginstown are, with their runners that will head to Cheltenham probably in March. And I thought Don Cossack would be the ideal type of horse to go those three races, but we'll have to wait and see what makes the final lineup.
Yeah. I couldn't see Silviniaco Conti winning it, though. He's not going to win a Gold Cup, is he?
He won't win a Gold Cup.
No, not.
I don't think he'll even go for it.
No.
I'm pretty sure he'll go national, won't he?
Yeah.
I think they've established that he wants flat left-handed or right-handed tracks. You know, he had put a nice seasonal debut together at Kempton. That was a little more than a jog round, really. He got swiftly swept aside by Brother Ted, who's you know, pretty useful horse in his own right. And I would imagine that Silviniaco Conti is going to go Betfair Chase, King George again, and then Grand National probably.
And I think he's obviously got one of the favourites chances in the Betfair Chase. If he wins that, then I think you'd forget about the Triple Crown for this year. But anyway, that's beside the point, I suppose. Coney Gree, we mentioned him in passing in there. Just with a look ahead to Sunday, he might meet Southfield Theatre there, so it won't be the breeze around that maybe they were hoping for. He'd put it up to him a little bit, wouldn't he?
You would think so, yeah. That looks a really intriguing little race, to be honest. Puffin Billy's in there as well, and Oliver Sherwood's adamant that he'll be a different horse this year. With another year on his back, he's going to continue to improve. And Generous Ransom's okay in his own right. 140 rated chaser who was placed at the Cheltenham Festival, I think. So, yeah, it's an interesting little heat. Obviously, the anomaly in the race is that you can't have won a chase before 27th of April.
Yeah.
And, of course, Coney Gree hadn't. So, therefore, he can run in this intermediate chase. You know, a lot of people are saying, it shouldn't be allowed, etc., etc. And I think he's got something like, 17, £18 in hand of his nearest rival. So it should be a straightforward task for him. And he does look a monster. The ground would be ideal if it eased a little bit, obviously, because his breeding and everything we've seen so far is that he ploughs through heavy ground. I believe he goes pretty well fresh, and you know, he's going to be a difficult horse to topple this year. Yeah, he won his bumper first time. He won his novice hurdle first time out, so I think it's fair to say he's pretty good first time out. And he won at Newbury, he won that Fuller's London Pride novices chase, the Berkshire novices chase first time out as well. So he's an absolutely tremendous horse fresh, so he'll win.
Yeah, I was reading the comments earlier in the week. They're saying they found a loophole, they're taking advantage of it.
And, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, Gold Cup winner in an intermediate chase, how about that?
Well, it's a nice stepping stone for him. They've been clever enough to find it. It's £30,000 race, so...
Yeah, fair play to him.
You know, and it puts some glitz and glamour on the Sandown card on Sunday as well. And, you know, it's great to see these national courses actually putting a meeting on a Sunday in Britain, because it's usually Ireland that are the only places that seem to put decent racing on a Sunday, bar Cheltenham's Greatwood Hurdle Day.
Yeah, we get some good meetings on Sunday. You get the Aintree Old Roan Chase meeting on a Sunday. You even get it midweek as well. We had the Holden Gold Cup on a Tuesday. And we'll have a quick chat about Vibrato Valtat, who won that.
Yeah.
He was pretty impressive, wasn't he?
He was. He hadn't got a great record fresh going into the race, so I thought that he might just need the run to put him spot on for something like the Slur Chase at Cheltenham a week on Sunday, or perhaps even the Tingle Creek, if that was the way they thought they were going. But he absolutely dotted up. He really relished the ground. I wouldn't be surprised if he's had just a little bit of remedial work done through the summer as well, just to tinker with his wind. But he travelled beautifully, saw the race out really well. I think he would have probably been placed in the Arkle last year if he hadn't tried to serve it up to the winner. And as it was, he finished just out the frame. And I think his wind got progressively worse as the season wore on with the stresses and strains of training. So it's good to see him back. He certainly looks... Oh, he's only six. I mean, he certainly looks a really talented horse. And he'd be a live one in the Tingle Creek. He goes well right-handed. One point that my colleague Andy Mount did say on the radio yesterday was that he is a horse that wants a small field. He's not got a great record in big fields. So, you know, if 8 or 10 turned up for the Tingle Creek, that might make you think twice. But if you get the normal small field, as you do for these two-mile grade chases, then he'd be a live one.
All right, anything else on your mind before I move on?
No, I think I'm fine. Is the mortgage rates going up at all? That's on my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I'm fine. Well, I haven't found a cure for baldness yet either. So, no, those are two things I put to the back of my mind, really, Mark, and just concentrate on the racing.
Well, in that note, let's move on. Let's get stuck into Thursday's racing. We'll get Sam Turner's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll spin through these in time order. So we'll start with the 2:15 at Market Raisin, which is a Class 4 handicap chase over almost 3 miles. Seven of them in the lineup here. Sam, where would you like to start in there?
Yeah, some trappy racing, if I'm honest, on the jumps on Thursday. To be honest, the Chelmsford car's nothing special either. So it's a bit feast or famine, really. We've had some really good racing, haven't we, early part of the week, and just been a little bit disappointing on Thursday's cards as we build towards the weekend. But this is a nasty little race, but it could go the way of Charlie Longston, who has enjoyed a fantastic autumn, enjoyed a great Saturday as well. Obviously he had a couple of very high profile winners, the one up at Wetherby which won the long distance hurdle, and then Pendra, which managed to eventually land a big prize. And this could go his way as well. It's not a bad little handicap chase, worth nearly 4,000 to the winner. And Ready Token just about gets the nod after his 15 length win at the track last time out over course and distance. The ground will be significantly softer than it was when he bolted up that day under Aidan Coleman, but although he's up 9 in the weights, I still think he'll take a fair bit of beating. There looks one or two horses that could trouble him. Sands Cove is well handicapped at the moment, but he's coming off a 5-month break, and Master Neo is a horse that runs a track well and was a little bit unlucky at Utoxeter last time, as he came down mid-race when he could have been competitive. But Ready Token with the cheap pieces on, that looks an interesting addition for me.
Ready Token then, the selection for Sam in the 2:15. Moving to Toaster next for their 2:25. This one is a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. It's almost 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And I thought this was quite tricky, but there are 9 of them in the lineup. So in each way angle, should you choose to go that way?
Yeah, I'm probably so far wide of the mark here. It's unbelievable. But I'm going to take a chance with a real outsider in Malibu Sun here. Who's a horse that hasn't exactly been troubling the judge of late. He's been really disappointing, but on the reverse side of the coin, he's dropped from a mark of 130 to 114 now. He's 130 to 122 over fences, and he's now 114 over hurdles. He was entitled to need that first run, I felt, at Southall. He was only beaten 8 lengths by Cushine Bridge. He led that day and just blew up. But it's the form of the Ben Pauling yard which I find quite interesting, in that he's a stable that really come to the fore in the last weeks, ever since Barters Hill won at Huntingdon on Sunday. It's now Cato, managed to win at Plumpton the other day as well. So that's a couple of winners they've had from nowhere. They had a couple of near misses prior to that. And I wonder whether this just might be a big price and might be worth a couple of shillings each way. Nico de Boinville takes a ride. He's been on the last two starts. Very, very well handicapped these days, Malibu Sun. Goes well round Toaster as well. That's the key. A lot of Ben Pauling's horses run really well at the track. And this Malibu Sun, I think he's run here twice and he's won twice. So he's a live one at a big price.
All right, I like it. Malibu Sun could be a bit of value then in the 2:25 at Toaster. The 2:35 at Musselburgh is where we go after that. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over just short of 3 miles. We'll start here with Cobra J Island, if we may, Sam, yeah, because he's been knocking on the door.
Yeah, a horse that stems from a yard in absolutely brilliant form at the moment. Was beaten by Muckle Row, the horse of Nigel Twiston Davis's at Worcester. Probably a bit unlucky to bump into Muckle Row. It was a horse that didn't travel particularly well, according to Nigel Twiston Davis. So they took him to the races about 50 times through the summer, and he's finally conquered his aversion to travelling. And Cobra J Island was unlucky to be on the receiving end of that improved performance. I think he's got a big chance. He's certainly feasibly handicapped, but I'm going to go with Purcell's Bridge, who's been off the track for 5 months, and just hoping that the return to this venue is the catalyst for a better showing from Purcell's Bridge. Rose Dobbin's horses haven't been in bad nick. Graham Watters gets on pretty well with him. And he was a good winner here on New Year's Day, I think, where he beat Bertie Milan by 9 lengths under similar conditions. Bit of cut in the ground, 3 miles around Musselburgh. He's worked his way back down to a feasible handicap mark of 115 at the moment. And hopefully he'll run well off a break.
All right, Purcell's Bridge, the selection for Sam in the 2.35, and we finish off in the 6.15 at Chelmsford City. This is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a quarter. 8 of them in the lineup here, Sam. And we'll start with the 3-year-old, Spanish Squeeze. Only had the 3 starts, remains less exposed than most of these. And Hugo Palmer's having a good time with things at the moment.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic autumn on the flat. I mean, he's training winner after winner of, you know, good quality, expensive and valuable races. So yeah, Spanish Squeeze is interesting after a six and a half month absence. Last saw in a listed contest at Lingfield back in the spring. That was the Rob Mosley International Trial Stakes, over a mile, but beaten only length and a quarter, and ran really well. Should appreciate the step up in trip, but I'm just going to go for a horse I think here which is probably just a little bit more tuned up for the day, might be a bit sharper, and that is Lovely Memory, who's a Chamadal filly trained by Saeed Bin Saror. She's stepping up in trip here from 8 to a mile. She ran behind Apostle last time with Kevin Stott on board, staying on steadily down the middle of the track. Looked for all the world as though she just needs that step up in trip. Previous to that, she was lugging on the one pace at Pontefract over the mile there, the stiff mile there. But she has won a maiden at Chelmsford. The run behind Apostle last time came in a really quick time. She had the cheek pieces on that occasion. She retains those today. Eddie Greatorex looks a good booking for me, and stepping up to the mile and a quarter, she could be a decent bet to upset the likes of Batnahera Heron, Bint Dandy, Spanish Squeeze, and Solar Deity, who never really manages to get his head in front.
Yeah, we know where we stand with all of those, don't we? But with the 2-3-year-olds in there, could be a little bit more.
They're the ones that leap out at you. Obviously, Crockenbush ran really well behind Batnahera Heron last time, went a 33-1 poke, but yeah, you know, he's got to back that up, and I prefer the 2-3-year-olds.
All right, good stuff. As usual, Sam, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yes, certainly. 2.15 at Market Raisin, Ready Token, Charlie Longton's 7-year-old to supplement that recent course and distance victory. Then over at Towston, the 2.25, a little bit of a stab in the dark here on Malibu Sun, who bids to retain the unbeaten record at the track, which stands at 2 from 2 at the moment. Musselburgh's 2.35, the handicap chase over 3 miles. Hopefully this can go to Purcell's Bridge and Rose Dobbin. Then Chelmsford, probably the race of the night there. It might even be the race of the day, the 6.15, that's the mile and a quarter handicap worth 12,000 to the winner. Lovely Memory, Saeed Bin Saror's filly by Chamadal, gets the nod.
Superb, good work, Sam. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Thursday.
Cheers, thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Sam Turner on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40 PM. Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Chris Pimlott will be the team in the studio. Market Raisin, Musselburgh and Toaster will provide the action in the afternoon, and it's Chelmsford City in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.